group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County. Good afternoon, and the weather for today, this afternoon, is going to be mostly sunny with a high near 92, southwest winds 8 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 69, and Tuesday will be mostly sunny with a high near 93, southwest winds 6 to 8 miles an hour. And Tuesday night is a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. It'll be partly cloudy with a low around 69 and south winds 3 to 6 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 20%. Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly after 2 p.m. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain. It'll be mostly cloudy with a high near 87, light southwest winds, and the chance of precipitation is 60%. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible in the thunderstorms. Wednesday night, it'll be showers and thunderstorms, likely, mainly before 8 o'clock. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain, mostly cloudy with a low around 67. Again, it's 60% chance of rain, and the new rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts in the thunderstorms. Thursday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 87, and Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 66.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and this is the NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. There is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers, work out of our houses, use our own phones, that sort of thing. And I've been told quite often that the commute from the kitchen to the family room is quite nice, no traffic. But anyway, what we try to do is we try to help people who either have a mental health issue or someone in their family does, or they work with someone who does, or they're friends with someone who has. And we try to get that person who has the issue to get the help they need. We try to help the families deal with the issue of having someone. And we do it in various ways. We have what they call a family-to-family class, which is a 12-week course. And it is totally free. You don't have to be a member of NAMI to join. You do have to register. That's the only thing. And what it does is it goes over medications, side effects, what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say in certain circumstances. And it tries to get the person taking the class to feel what it's like to be the person with the illness. We also have support group once a month, the third Thursday of every month. And that is at 52 East Main Street here in Flemington, and it's from 7 to 8:30, sometimes 9 o'clock, depending how many people when they want to talk. And again, you don't have to be a member of NAMI, and you don't have to register for the support group. You can just show up. Like I said, it's 52 East Main Street in Flemington. If you have any questions or something you want to talk about or ask questions about, feel free to reach out to us. It's 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't man it 24/7, but we do have a lady who checks it at least twice a day, and we promise we will get back to you. Today we are very privileged to have Nancy Barrion Dixon. Did I say Barrion right?
No.
No. Okay. How did I say
that? Barrion.
That's how I have it written, but I guess I didn't say it right. Okay, I'll just call you Nancy Dixon. How's that?
It should just be Barrion now because the horse is lying on.
Okay. Okay. And Nancy is a volunteer at the Hunterdon Medical Center.
Correct.
And still a member of the Mental Health Board?
Yeah.
All right. That's how we met. The day I left was my last day on the Mental Health Board was her first. So that's how we met. We also have Laura, who's Nancy's daughter, with us. And she's mainly going to just sit and listen. But you could say hi. No, she's shaking her head. No. Yeah. You know. Anyway, if you want to talk, you can. The microphone's there and it's on. So, you know, if not, that's okay too. And you go to Voorhees, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're going to be a senior or a junior?
Junior.
You're going to be a junior. Okay. We met at Voorhees. We were talking about when we weren't on the air. Yeah, they had a mental health awareness day, and NAMI had a table there. And this young lady came up to me and said, "You're Larry Cartwright. You know, I know you. You know my mother." That's how we met. Yeah. All right, Nancy, I want to thank you for taking the time to come here today, and also Laura, because I'm sure you have other things you'd like to do, too, than sit here and be harassed by me. But welcome to both of you. Nancy, you've been very open about your mental health issues and how you deal with them. I know you're dealing with depression and anxiety, and I know so in many cases it takes a long time to find medications that work. I know it took my we have four children. My youngest son is schizophrenic, and it took, I want to say, quite a few years for them to find a medication that worked. He had another problem. He's been epileptic since he's five, so the epileptic medication would screw up the psychotic medication and vice versa. So between the seizures and the, you know, psychological problems there, it was a long haul. So I know that it takes quite a while. And a lot of times doctors will take medication that have proven successful in the past and use it on a patient. Problem is, I may be able to take aspirin and Laura can't. So my body may react different to medication than yours, you know, and that's the tough part, trying to find the one that works. Now, are you on medication now?
I am.
Okay, and how long did it take to find the right one?
You could probably say it took years. And
yeah.
The reason is, as I believe I said in my first interview with you, was I did not have a diagnosis for years because I thought that I was just doing fine. I thought that I was just suffering from depression. And it was the trigger for me to get the right medication was my divorce. I had been on Lexapro, the antidepressant, mm-hmm. for a good 6 years prior to the divorce initiation.
Right, right.
And, but I felt stuck on the Lexapro. And when the divorce started, I asked my practitioner, "Can I decrease my antidepressant?" And of course, you know, they said, "You know, you're going through a divorce. Are you sure you want to do that?" And I said, "Yeah, well, you know, I feel stuck and I want to move on. And I feel that in order to do that, this is what I have to do." So they said, "Sure, just cut it in half," and that was not the right advice.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't know any better. And so,
right.
You know, because they're not psychologists, so I, or psychiatrists, so I did cut it in half, and I spiraled into a, what would you call it, a, I want to say a panic attack, but it's more than a panic attack. It was like a breakdown, a mental breakdown.
Right.
And it's almost a year ago, actually. It was August 5th. Well, the 3rd was the first time I went into the hospital with the kids. Laura and her brother drove me to the ER because my anxiety was through the roof and I was having suicidal ideation and I just couldn't control it. And it was in the first round of the ER they gave me a sedative. I can't remember
right.
what it is right now, but it's a... Yeah, just something that they mm-hmm. do to make you feel better,
right.
anti-anxiety
right.
medication. And I went home, Ozanax, that's what it was. And I went home and I thought, okay, I feel better now, but it came back.
job 2 days later. So on August 5th, I said, I need to go into the hospital. Called a friend of mine and I said, can you please drive me in? I'm going to check myself in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went into 2 Central at Huntington Medical
Center.
And it was the best decision I ever made. It was the day before my 54th birthday. I went in there and we discussed that, you know, maybe Lexapro wasn't for me. I saw one of the virtual psychiatrists and he said, maybe I'll try you on the other one. I forget what the other, you know,
right.
Lexapro's equivalent. You know, why don't you try that and see if that'll help you? And all of a sudden I was like, I don't know, that didn't feel good either. So they dismissed me on that second medication. I got home, and suddenly I started, spiraling out again. And I said, that's not right either. And at the time, there was a nurse practitioner on board at Hunterdon, and she said, I think you're being triggered by these antidepressants. And I said, what do you mean by that? She said, well, if you're bipolar, those medications aren't good for you. You should be taking them.
Right.
So I said, okay, well, I don't have that family background of bipolar. No one had ever asked me about that before. So it was just very foreign. But after that second round of the panic attacks and that second hospitalization, they, you know, in the ER administered Seroquel. And it was life-altering.
Right.
It just... my anxiety went down. I felt like me again. I even felt better.
Right.
I felt like I was in my 20s, like back when I was in college. And then they said, well, we're going to give you lithium as well as your mood stabilizer. And so for a year now, I've been on both Seroquel and lithium. And I was diagnosed as bipolar too.
Yep. And, you know, it's, I often say when I talk to people or, you know, give presentations, everybody gets depressed. I don't care who you are. I don't care what age you are, whatever. Everybody gets depressed. The difference between depression as a mental illness and depression is the length of time you have it.
Right.
Now, I had, or have, not had, but have, 4 kids, mm-hmm. a mortgage, car payments, insurance, had to put food on the table, and I lost my job. So I'm out there splitting wood one day in the yard, and I'm saying, Cartwright, you better get out and get to work because you have bills to pay and everything else. So, yeah, that first week or so I was depressed about losing my job and how am I going to support my family and yada, yada. But after a while, it's just, hey, you know, get your butt out there and get a job, you know, because you got bills you got to pay. So that's the difference. And the same thing with anxiety. Everybody has anxiety. Everybody gets anxious. You're going on a job interview. You're going on your first date with a girl you like or a boy you like. And, you know, so it's like you have anxiety.
Yeah.
But the difference is, again, how long it lasts.
And how you handle it.
And how you handle it. Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, the healing process for you and how you're handling it is, you know, awesome, because a lot of people wouldn't handle it that quickly.
Thank you for that.
It's true.
And I do see that, you know, friends and family and even fellow members in the patients. You know, I saw, and I have a friend who I met in rehab, and, you know, she has said the same thing to me. She's suffering. She keeps, you know, bouncing back and forth.
Right.
And she said, she's in her 70s. She's a beautiful woman. And she said to me, you know, honey, I'm just so glad that you're doing as well as you are. She's like, keep it up, you know, and I appreciate that.
Right, right.
You know, but, yeah, I think part of that, of course, is my makeup. You know, I'm very determined. I'm persistent. I'm stubborn. Right?
Daughter's smiling over there and shaking her head. Yep.
Exactly. But also, I have her and her brother as my, they watch me. So, you know, I need to be on, not that I need to be on my best behavior, but I just consider them too and say, you know, am I a role model to them? My son doesn't live at home, but he does know, you know, through talking with his sister, what's going on with me and that sort of thing.
Right,
so.
Right.
Warrior rocks.
I'm your rock or you're my rock?
No, we're your rocks.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yes. Bumping into this.
With that, we have to take a quick break.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County. Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host. I'm very privileged today to have with us Nancy Barrien. Did I say it right?
Better.
Still not right. What?
Barrien?
Barrien,
yeah.
Like berry? Like berry?
Yep. Like
okay,
berry.
Like berry.
Mm-hmm. In.
Okay. Well, I gotta have to remember that. And her beautiful daughter, Laura, is with her. And Laura's not quite anxious to talk on her into the mic, so but she laughs a lot. And, you
yeah,
know,
she does.
You know, so
and makes faces.
Okay. And she makes faces.
Yeah.
That'll look good on there when you make faces.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, we were talking about, you know, you've been going through some depression and such. And mm-hmm. What is some of the advice you received, and what is some of the advice you've given others?
I would say one of the some of the advice I've been given was in therapy.
Right.
And I was, you know, really fortunate to have a lot of good therapists I work with. And the advice I've been given is, you know, you have to formulate a plan for yourself that's going to work. And so for me, it's meditation, you know, it's also reframing my thoughts. That's to me, that is like the biggest way I can lessen my anxiety and ease my depression, because I can just look at things from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's something we discussed in therapy as well. This is group therapy.
Right.
You know, after the hospitalization. And I would say most recently, because I'm still going through anxiety and depression.
Sure, sure.
The divorce was final as of July, but then I also just went through a breakup. So, you know, I've been relying on friends and family to talk things over and, you know, cry on their shoulders, et cetera. And my brother reminded me of a story. Our father passed away in 2014, I think it was. And I was the executor and he was the co-executor. We're, we have six kids in our family.
Wow.
Yeah, he's number three and I'm number five. Anyway, so we were working together on getting Dad's estate settled. And my brother had been living with my parents prior to both of them passing away. He was essentially their caretaker. And we had to put the house up for sale. So he was starting to panic about that. You know, where am I going to live? What are we going to do? We had just so much stuff in the house. And,
Yeah.
And even though it was a townhouse, they still, you know, there's lots of furniture, mementos, et cetera. And so he started panicking and he said to me, how's it going to get all done? We're not going to get this done because we had, you know, a certain time right. frame to get
sure.
it done by.
Sure.
And he's, you know, not that he was running around wringing his hands, but just, you know, giving off
well, it's
like
a lot
that.
Of pressure.
Yes, yeah. It is. And so he said, I just looked at him and I just said, Rich, it's going to get done. It just will. And he said he had to stop in his tracks and think about that and go. And if he said at first, he was like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, it will. It always gets done. And I mean, I've moved numerous times in my life, so I know what it's like. So I had a pretty good handle on, you know, what was required to do this. But with other situations, you're going to have that anxiety and you're going
sure.
to say, you know, how am I ever going to do that?
Right.
How am I ever going to get this accomplished? And right now, there's, in my case, I have a lot of paperwork that is to help dissolve all these funds that,
right.
you know, are the result of a marriage. And I've been getting that kind of anxiety too. And then we have also possessions that were
sure.
divided.
Right, right.
And those possessions had to be moved out of the house in order for my ex to pick them up. And so my brother stopped me the other day and he just said, Nan, do you remember when Dad passed away? And I was wringing my hands and saying, you know, what? How's this going to get done? How's this going to get done? I said, not really. He says, well, it did happen. And you said to me, Rich, it'll get done. So he said, now I'm telling you, Nan, it'll get done. I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah. So. Now, I know because, like, I'm an only child. I had a sister, but she died prior to me being born, like, you know, 2-3 months old.
Yeah.
But so as an only child, you know, my father died in Philippines.
Oh, really? Wow.
My mother, you know, was here in Bergen County. And, you know, it's so tough because you got this 3-bedroom house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on a residential street,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it had one of the biggest lots on the whole street. You know, I know I used to have to cut the grass with a rotary mower, you know, that wasn't power. And, mm-hmm. You know, and you had all the stuff to get rid of because
right.
my mother was a hoarder, too.
You know? Okay.
Not that you couldn't walk in a house, but she had it all stacked here and there and everywhere, you know, in the closets and up and up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get rid of all this stuff, you
right.
know, or donate it or, you
right.
know, sell it or whatever. So I know what you're saying, you know, and the pressure just seems like it's, you know.
Insurmountable.
Right. But you
not.
Get done. You get through it,
right.
you
right.
know. And,
yeah.
You know, so it's, but one of the things I know I've spoken to people about and they've mentioned to me was self-care.
Mm-hmm.
That regardless of what the psychologist or therapist or whoever, you have to take care of yourself.
Yeah. Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
First of all, you know, you've got Laura and
yep.
her brother.
Yeah.
So you have to, you know, take care of yourself to take care of them.
Right.
Because,
right.
you know, they're teenagers.
Yeah.
Like Laura, you're a teenager, right? And, you know, hey, I even remember barely what it was like to be a teenager, you know. And, you know, it's just, it's not easy.
Right.
So
yeah.
you have to care for yourself. How do you do that?
Because
everybody does it differently
yes,
from what I've gathered
right.
over the years.
Right. So one of the things is the meditation. And I have to admit, I don't meditate every day.
No.
I wish that I would remember to do it every day, but I definitely was more vigilant in the beginning of my, after coming out of my hospitalization. Sure. I also have to say that I was not, I don't know what the word would be. I didn't understand self-care for many, many years. And I remember seeing women who would go and get their hair done on a regular basis and their nails done on a regular basis and what have you, cosmetic surgery, what have you. I thought I was a little critical. You know, I was, I have this tattoo that says don't judge, but I was judgmental, I have to say. Like, and women are judgmental of each other, unfortunately.
I think most people are, men or women. Yeah. I don't think it matters. You know. Teenagers, they're judgmental.
That's
true.
But I just remember talking to a psychologist once and her finally explaining to me that it doesn't mean that. It means, as you said, you're taking care of yourself in order to be able to take care of others. Which is why when you're on an airplane, they say put the mask on yourself first, because otherwise you're not going to be able to care for your children or whoever else is with you. And it just, that finally clicked, and I said, okay, I get that now. So I have been better at, you know, like going to get my nails when I want to get them done and that sort of thing. But a big step for me is that I am going on a trip by myself. And
may I ask where you're going?
Sure. I'm going to Croatia.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. In the midst of the divorce, I started thinking about, you know, what are some things I want to do? And I mistakenly started thinking about buying a Harley Davidson, and even went to look at one. Laura went with me. And
what'd you think, Laura? Was it good?
I mean, I've always liked motorcycles, but her on one.
You couldn't picture that.
No.
Here's mommy on her motorcycle.
Right. Here I was thinking I was a badass, but, you know. But, but again, my brother Rich stepped in and said, don't do it. I'm not going to let you do it. You have kids. You know, you're going to get hit. You're going to get injured. So I decided not to. I changed my mind, and that's when the idea of going on a cruise by myself took place. And it's just a place I've always wanted to see. You know, the pictures of it are stunning. And so I'm leaving next week, and I'm going for 14 days.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but it's going to be... It's going to be fun.
Were you locking Laura in a closet or what?
No, she's fortunately staying with a friend. But
that's cool.
But here's the other thing. I have a fear of flying, and I haven't been on a plane in like well over 10 years because of that. And so, you know, another thing I do for myself is I challenge myself to do things outside of my comfort zone because I want to live. I want to live a full life.
Right.
So I do have medication to help with the anxiety, but I also have my oldest sister has been traveling a lot lately, so I have her as an example. I have a friend who travels a lot. So, you know, it just gives me that comfort that here's people I know who have done it, and, you know, they've been fine.
Sure.
So,
But you're going on a boat, right?
After I fly over there, yes,
right.
I will be.
Okay.
And that doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, we just come back. Well, we come back the middle of June. We were in Norway, Denmark, and Sweden.
Oh,
and that was awesome.
Too. Yeah.
And they were gorgeous. Mm. And the nice thing is they speak English.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah.
I'm hoping they'll speak some English Croatia. So far, so good.
But that was, you know, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I have a thing about boats.
Were you in the Navy?
No, I was in the Air Force.
Oh, Air Force.
So okay. Planes don't bother me at all. Can't tell you.
Oh,
how many,
you mean you have a problem with
I
boats?
I have a problem with boats.
Oh.
Yeah.
So how did you manage?
What?
The boat.
We didn't go on a boat.
Oh, I thought you did. I'm sorry.
No, we flew over and we were on a tour.
Tour bus.
Okay. Right, with 44 other people.
Okay.
But it was over 2 weeks, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, a day fly over, a day fly back, and then like 14 or 15 days there.
Right.
You know, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
And,
Thank you.
You know, it's great. You're doing something that you want to do.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, you know, anxiety.
Yes.
What are some of your triggers? Is paperwork one of them?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
filling out paperwork or?
Just having so much of it and not knowing what to do with it, not knowing where it goes, what I should, you know, how I should organize. I actually, a number of years ago, hired an organizer to help me. A woman came into my home, and she was terrific. I feel like I should probably
get her again.
Get her again, yeah. But, yeah, it just, I mean, I see a piece of paper, and I start, my heart starts palpitating.
Okay. Well, you know, you've got a educated daughter with you. She could help you.
Right, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, that is something, too. Like, once you recognize your triggers, if there's a resource to help you, grab that resource. Get, you know, get into, you know, using people and places and things. It, you know, I make a lot of phone calls with help, for help, you know, that sort of thing. So.
Yeah, I call my oldest son.
Yeah.
He's got all this mechanical technology and everything.
Yeah,
and, you know,
yeah.
So I call him if I got a problem. Yeah.
Right,
you know,
right.
But,
yeah.
You know, it's... it's good that you're doing things like you're involved in your community, you know. So you might want to elaborate a little bit on that. But, you know, it's good that you're doing things because these things more or less take your mind off of some of the other things.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. So, I mean, as I said, right now I'm going through, you know, some anxiety and depression. And then, you know, you had suggested I come back on. And I thought that's a really good outlet for me because when I'm talking about this, it's, you know, kind of taking it out, you know, letting it go out there in the universe. And, but also it's because I want to help other people as well. And if they're, you know, going through similar situations, I want to be able to discuss it with them and share, you know, stories and and resources, you know, like that. But to your point, you know, I'm also on the mental health board, and I've been on that now for almost a year in the fall.
Almost a year.
Yeah, it'll be
in fall.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I think when you're
Well, actually, be close to December, I think, because that was when I got off and you were coming on.
Yeah, but then you're is it nominated? I forget how the freeholders, like, you have to get approved by them?
For?
To be on the board?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so I don't remember when, but they told me I'm going to be on until 2024, I think.
Right.
Yeah, so, and it's educational, it's somewhat social, you know, I would say, you know, not
and you're
not,
helping out, you're
right,
you know, there's issues that come up that the mental health board has to approve or disapprove,
right,
and
or tackle,
you know,
just tackle
or
in general,
right, or, you know, come up with a solution that you guys want and send it off to whoever is sending you the thing, I did, well, you're only allowed to do two tours and then you have to get off. I finished out a tour a little over three years for somebody who had to leave because they were moving.
Oh.
And then I was off for a little while and I came back on for another 2 years. So I did three tours there basically, you know. So.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, being able to help resolve issues for the patients of Hunterdon County. I mean, that's great, you know.
Absolutely.
So, like, the transportation issues, you know, we've dealt with, and then contract issues, and so.
You know, it's, there's, it's better that we have, you know, the transportation that people have who don't drive, like my son.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, but there's a lot of good points about it. But, you know, I remember he was at Walmart and was and a bus pulled up. People got hit. They told everybody had to get off because there was a storm coming and they had to bring the bus back.
Oh.
Now,
Where's everybody supposed to go?
You know, what are they supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know, these people don't drive. That's why they take this you know, system.
Yeah.
And they, we got to bring the bus back. Everybody get off. Okay. Like, you know, he called me up. He says, Dad, can you come pick me up? You know? Right. I says, yeah, no problem.
And he's lucky that you were available to do that for him.
And, yeah, he lives in Flemington. You know, he has his own apartment in Flemington. So that's, you know, fine.
Yeah.
And he's just celebrated, I want to say 3 years. Maybe it's four at BJ's working. Mm-hmm. So, you know, plus he takes his meds religiously.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
He's been in his own apartment about a little over 7 years. So.
That's great.
Yeah, it is. So the community involvement, I think, is great because you're helping people.
Right. And, you know, it makes you feel good to help people. You know? So, and, you know, in the course of that, you hope to find other people who, you know, are in similar situations so that you build your community.
Right. You know, people always ask me why I do everything I do with NAMI and the radio shows and all that good stuff. And I say, if I could help one person, then it's worthwhile.
Yeah.
Or one family or whatever.
Yeah.
Then it's worthwhile.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times I'm on the phone for an hour with people, you know, just talking them through their situations and what have you.
Right.
And, you know, it's filling to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's rewarding to me that it's not like I'm giving up my time. I'm helping somebody. You know? And you may help them and not even know you help them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Which, you're to your point, so when I was in rehab and I was, it was close to the time when I was about to leave, but the woman before me was leaving and she was pretty quiet throughout our, you know, time and in our group sessions and stuff. And she said to me as she was getting ready to leave, "You really helped me." And I was shocked. I was like, "Really? What did I do that
helped?" What did I do? Yeah.
But what she was referring to was the fact that we had a session on stigma. And I remember specifically in that session, I said to the therapist who was leading it, she said, to the group, she said, "What are your thoughts on stigma?" And I said, "I think it sucks." And she goes, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, I feel that if you judge me for my mental health issues, that's your problem." I said, "You know what? I really don't care what you think of me in that regard."
Right.
You know, because nobody's perfect and we all have problems. And I just, you know, I was going on and on more about that, about, like, you know, it's just a lot of it's attitude, a lot of it is, you know, just how you present yourself.
And, you know, many people don't realize it's a chemical imbalance of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody asked for it.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, you and my son didn't raise their hand and say, "Give it to me."
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
It's a chemical imbalance.
Right.
And it's an illness.
Yeah.
And if it was cancer or heart disease,
diabetes,
everybody go, "Oh, well, what a shame. You know, can we help you?"
Right.
You know, you say it's mental health issues and they take two steps back because they're afraid it'll attack them.
And they think that you can do it yourself. Why can't you just, you know, why can't you just shake out of it? You know, I remember. Yeah.
They don't understand. That's the whole problem.
You know?
That's what we would try to do here, and all the other stuff NAMI tries to do is to, you know, make it aware of what's going on, you know, what the problem is, you know.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, you do any freelance work?
I thought Tracy would be here today to tell you that I actually started writing for her.
Okay.
So she now, is
editor.
I know,
she's got that book or whatever.
Rivertowns.
Yeah.
Yep, Rivertowns Magazine. And she contacted me and she said, "I'd like you to write an article." And I did. It was fantastic. Great experience. And that, for me, is also therapeutic.
Sure. Absolutely.
I love people. I went through a period of time in my life where I was cynical and I didn't want to have anything to do with people and very negative. And I think it might have been coincided with when I was working in New York. Because when you're in New York, you have your guard up.
I was born in Brooklyn, I know.
Yeah. And I'm from New York originally.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, and but I truly do love people, and I love talking and listening to people. And she gave me this great opportunity to discuss this man's home with him. And so I wrote the article for her. I believe it'll be in the fall issue. And I hope to do more, you know, not just with her, but with other publications as well. That's my background. My background is publishing and public relations.
That's great.
So, yeah, thanks.
We have to take another quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host. And we're very privileged to have with us today Nancy Berrien.
You got it.
I got it. One out of five. That's not bad. That's 20%. Her daughter thought that was funny.
Yeah, exactly.
And her daughter Laura is here with us, who's going to be a junior, right, in Voorhees? Voorhees, right? And I should remember because that's where I met you. You know, old age, you know. And we've been talking about, you know, some of Nancy's issues and how she's gone about helping herself get through them. But I'd like to ask you to share a story that you about your friend from your church,
mm-hmm.
and what you said to her and what her reaction was.
Well, as I said, I think I've said earlier that, you know, I don't mind discussing my issues. In fact, I think I'm candid, whereas other people, I think I give too much information. I have been accused of that. I don't care. You know, to me, this is an important issue, and I feel that it needs to be talked about. So I was candid with her in discussing the issues I've been going through, mm-hmm. not just the divorce, but the anxiety and the depression. Right. And she was aware of the fact, either I told her, maybe hearing of it through other church members, that I had this hospitalization. Actually, because I did contact some church members for help, there's two women that are therapists. In our congregation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And actually, Phil Lubin. Phil Lubin, isn't it? Lubitz. Or is it Lubitz?
Lubitz. Phil Lubitz.
Yeah, he's a member of our congregation,
okay.
and his wife,
right.
Barb, is
right.
also.
Right.
So, anyway, so, you know, people were aware of what I was going through and the hospitalizations and how I was dealing with it. And I happened to share it with this woman. And a few weeks or months after she was having tremendous health issues, and those triggered anxiety for her and the same panic attack or mental
mm-hmm.
breakdown.
Right.
So she called me and she said, "What should I do about it?" And I said, "Get yourself to the hospital." Plain and simple, get yourself to the hospital. Don't be ashamed. Just do it. She has a son, you know, she,
right.
you know, was worried, but she had a partner who could help her, you know, with her son. I said, this is the first step, you know,
mm-hmm.
and let the hospital help you determine you know, what's going on. So don't worry about, right. you know, don't think you have to know what's going on. Just get there because that's the safest place to be. And she did. And she came back to me a couple weeks later or maybe, you know, maybe a month later. And she said, thank you so much. She said, it's because of you that I was able to start this journey. And, you know, she was just not transformed exactly because she right. still had to deal with her health issues, but it was like a weight was lifted off her shoulders, you know, yeah, just sure. to know that, you know, she made the right decision for herself, you know?
Yeah.
So,
you know, after I retired, I won't tell you how many years ago, I worked for a couple of years at the hospital,
mm-hmm.
one day a week, and I on a Saturday from 8 to 2:30. And from 11 to 12, I would have to go to 2 Central and talk to the clients.
Mm-hmm.
And about last summer, or the end of last fall maybe, we had a table, and it was supposed to be at the Lutheran Church.
Mm.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church, but they had something they couldn't, so they moved it to the Salvation Army. And we had the table, and I'm sitting there with Peggy, who does a table with me. And this woman come up who was pregnant, and this young man came up. And he looked at me, he says, you don't remember me, do you? I says, in all honesty, not quite, no.
Mm.
He says, well, he says, I was in 2 Central and you gave a talk. And he says, here I am now. My wife expecting a baby. I've got a you know, full-time job. And, you know, for the last couple of years, I've had just a job. And, I'm, you know, he says, I just wanted to thank you when I saw you here.
Mm-hmm.
I says, well, you know, thank you for going on with your life, you know.
Right.
And it's just, you know, kind of like you said, the lady said to you, it was like earth-shattering to me, you know, that here I spoke to this guy a couple of years back and, you know,
right.
evidently whatever I said, I don't even know what I said, but whatever I said struck him, you know, and that was, you know, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And I think that's the biggest message is that, you know, we're all in this together, you know, you know, nobody should, I mean, I know people are going to feel alone. That's just going to happen. But having like this radio program to listen to, you know, having a community group to go to. I also participate in a Codependence Anonymous program.
Okay.
I do that generally every Tuesday or so out in Allentown because I found that, you know, I did allow myself to become codependent in my marriage and, you know, don't want that to happen again. And it's just, it's almost cleansing to go and, you know, speak to, you know, the group and know that there are other people out there like me. And, you know, that's just what I think it's just all, I don't want to say a circle, but, you know, there's just so much that comes full circle,
sure.
you know, from,
Absolutely.
You know, you take your right. first step, you're taking that first step towards healing. You know, and you take all these other steps along the way, and then you meet somebody along the way that you can help, and
right.
you're back to, you know, you're back to where you were.
Exactly.
So,
we've got about 4 minutes left.
Okay.
You want to briefly talk about your brother moving from Stroudsburg?
We did talk about that earlier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, okay, yeah. because he was, yeah. Okay,
yes.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was that's
okay.
him giving me the advice of,
right.
of, you know, things will get done. So,
right.
yeah.
You know.
But, no, I am working in a different capacity now. I think last time I was here, I was with the 100 and Helpline.
Right.
I'm no longer there. It just wasn't a good fit for me. I am now working for a nonprofit under Rutgers Behavioral Health Center.
Okay.
And the reason I want to, you know, also give them a plug is because it's a reciprocal peer support helpline. It's called Mom to Mom. And yes, I think Lauren works there as well. And Lauren, who does the radio program in Spanish.
Oh,
Yeah, I forget.
Well, I know that Alicia Stevenson works there.
Yes, Alicia.
That I know, for, you know.
Yes, and Alicia was my counselor. So when my son was diagnosed as having Asperger's when he was a sophomore in high school, and I had nowhere to turn. I did not, you know, have any resources to understand what right. he was going through. So I found their phone number, Mom to Mom, through New Jersey Perform Care. And called Mom to Mom, and well, I didn't get Alicia first. I was talking to, you know, whoever answered the phone. Right. They said, "We will assign you. Oh, I keep doing that. We will assign you to the to a counselor." And so Alicia became my counselor. And 3 years ago, at least, she and I were talking, and she's like, "Oh, you should come work here. You should come work here." And unfortunately, I didn't have the support of my spouse to start working there at that time.
Right.
So when the divorce started, I thought, what the heck? I might as well do it now. I can, you know, join them and see how it goes.
Sure.
And I did. And it took me 8 months. I mean, that's another thing. You know, you got to be persistent sometimes. And it took me 8 months to get the job. But I got the job there. And I'm
doing
marketing for them.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, thank you.
Couple minutes, and I just want to add, you have a statement that was said by Carol Burnett.
Yes.
And, you know, what did she say that you remember so well?
I don't know if I remember it word to word.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah. But she was very self-deprecating, she said, as a child and a young adult, because she felt very awkward and gawky. And so that just struck me, because I thought, wow, here's someone who, you know, has reached, you know, mm-hmm. you know, great fame, and how did she do it, and how did she manage, and all that. And it was just that humor that she had, and the deflection. But it was also because it was so empowering for her. And, you know, and that's what I'm, you know, beginning to try to build for myself, is more empowerment, you know. And so being here, and, you know, I'm starting blogging, and, you know, doing many other things, working with other people on the mental health board. That's empowerment. And when you have that, that also helps you with your anxiety
Absolutely.
And depression.
And I know I've said it to you in the past, don't overload it.
Right.
You know,
I remember
serious,
you did say that, yeah.
Because I've seen people who do, and they crash.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, it's great to help people. Yes, it's great to do these things. But just take it one step at a time, you know?
Yeah.
And I have to say, Laura, I really admire you for, you know, living when your mom's having all these issues, you don't have to answer or anything, is not the easiest thing in the world. So I really admire you for staying there and standing by her and helping her in any way that you can. Even if it's busting her chops.
Exactly. Now, they both kids have been really good. But, you know, unfortunately, they also inherited anxiety and depression from both their father and I. So they have their own, you know, things to deal with. But I think by me continuing, I also forgot to mention, I still continue with therapy and, you know, all my other, you know, tricks of the trade. I think that helps them as well.
Right. Well, I can't thank you enough for being here.
Thanks.
And
for
we will have
me.
You back again.
Okay.
And you can bring Lauren. She can even talk maybe the next time.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Now that she knows what it's like.
Now that she knows what it's like.
Exactly.
You know? But remember, folks, we'll be here same time, same station next week. And mental health really does matter. See you next week.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
Yeah. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Gilroy, California Police Chief Scott Smithy says they're investigating reports of a second suspect after Sunday's deadly shooting at a garlic festival.
We did have reports of a potential second suspect. We don't have any confirmation that any second suspect did any shooting, but we certainly are investigating all leads to try to determine who that potential second suspect is and what exactly that person's role was.
The victims in the attack were a 6-year-old boy, a 13-year-old girl, and a man in his 20s. More than a dozen people were injured in the attack as well. President Trump signs a bill permanently extending the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund. Speaking at the White House, the president says the country must be there for the first responders who served in Lower Manhattan.
Families of our fallen heroes, our nation owes each of you a profound debt that no words or deeds will ever repay.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Talks are resuming this week between U.S. and Chinese trade negotiators in an effort to end the trade war between the two countries. Trump administration officials are flying to Shanghai on Monday for the first face-to-face talks since last month's G20 summit. Going a little bit more in-depth on one of our top stories, police say the man who opened fire at the Gilroy Garlic Festival was able to get around security by entering through the back area of the park where the festival was being held. Police believe the gunman used some sort of tool to cut a fence next to a creek to gain access to the event. Candace Marquez and Cheryl Lowe tell ABC News they've always felt safe and security has always been reasonably good at the Garlic Festival.
There was a lot of police, a lot of security there. I mean, you feel secure in there. I mean, they're on horseback, they're on motorcycles, they're on bikes, they're all over the place during the festival. Yeah. So there's no reason to think that we were not safe there. It can happen anywhere. You never think it's going to happen in your town, but look what happened.
This is USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
On Monday, former Maryland Lieutenant Governor and former RNC Chairman Michael Steele spoke out against President Trump's recent statements on Twitter regarding Congressman Elijah Cummings. Steele says the president should come to Baltimore before making those comments.
We are not defined by the color of our skin. We're not defined by 400 years of slavery. That is a part of who we are. It is what animates us.
Andy Ngo is a conservative writer who was beat up during a rally by Antifa members in Portland, Oregon. The assault took place back in June, and Ngo is suffering from brain injuries as a direct result of the attack. He joins Fox News and shares some startling news.
It's been 4 weeks since my beating and robbery outside the Justice Center, ironically. There's not been a single arrest.
As far as why no one has been arrested, Ngo says,
I don't know. I don't want to be cynical about the police investigation, but this has been a pattern of incidents of Antifa violence in this city that never results in arrests or charges. Portland's governance system is odd. For your viewers who may not be aware, our mayor is also our police commissioner, and he's up for re-election in a city that is mostly pro-Antifa and anti-police. So you can imagine the variables that are causing what we're seeing now in Portland.
Ngo was speaking there on Fox News. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg. character by actor Jimmy Bennett, who says she sexually assaulted him when he was 17 years old. Argento, one of the leaders of the Me Too movement, allegedly paid Bennett $380,000 last year. That's according to the New York Times. This is USA Radio News.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the copy machine hat, the sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Next. You're holding up the line, ma'am.
What did you say?
You're next in line for the water slide, ma'am. Feet forward and enjoy the ride.
Okay, dear.